You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Final hour of the year on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Joe Hayden was my favorite Browns player this season. Who's yours? Let us know, 216-578-0850. And speaking of Joe Hayden, coming off a season where he was paid handsomely, played at an extremely high level, showed a lot of guts, a lot of grit, competed when he was injured, competed with the flu in games that didn't matter, and is going to Arizona for the Pro Bowl for the second straight season. Caught up with him as he was making his way out of Berea earlier this week.
Joe Hayden.
I want to get y'all set.
Joe, what do you think the team needs going forward?
I think we have a tough but a nice foundation. You know, this season it didn't go how we wanted it, but I think that it's a building process. I think we're going to be, in the future, we're going to be special. We have something here. I mean, we have a tough, tight core, and I'm looking at it as a positive, and I think we're going to be successful.
Do you want to see Gordon, Menzel, and Gilbert back next year?
I honestly do. I really like all of those dudes. I have really good relationships with them, and I'm not the one to judge. I mean, I've been through stuff. You know, I had my 4-game suspension when you know, so I got suspended, people looking at me a certain type of way. I just think it goes with growing pains, you know. Rookies are coming in a little bit late, you know, but it is what it is. I know that at the end of the day, they're growing up. They're very, very talented players, and I think if we, you know, it's just going to take a little bit of time. I think it's going to be okay. I really like them.
How disappointing is it for you as a veteran, though, to see these guys, for lack of a better term, not take it seriously, especially with you guys, you know, the record that you guys had?
Yeah, that's tough, you know, I mean, but... I don't want to be the one to just beat them down. I really like them. I like them as teammates. And, you know, people make mistakes, and I'm all about giving second chances. And I think that just this experience and having how much pressure, and just not pressure, but how much how bad this is for them. You know, just everybody on their backs and everything. I hope that it could tighten them up and change it up a little bit.
Joe, what did it take for you to change? You said when you first came in.
I mean, you just gotta understand that this is a business. You're a professional, and you just gotta go about it as a business. You know, just making sure that you're accountable. And the biggest thing was for me is I didn't want to have anybody looking at me like they couldn't trust me. And I think that's just one of the big things. Just knowing that you gotta be able to. Your word is everything. You gotta have people to be able to depend on. You gotta be able to have people that can count on you. And I think once that happens, that it'll make you grow really fast.
Joe, was the Adderall thing, like the rock bottom type of moment? We talked about that last year, but for you, was that the time?
Yeah, that was definitely the rock bottom for me. I just felt like, you know, the media, everybody, you know, you just feel like you're getting beat down really bad, and you don't really want that to happen. You feel like you embarrass your team, yourself, your family. And I think that when that happened to me, I just knew that I needed to make a change.
Joe, how do players that have established a pattern of behavior, of being unreliable, of making some poor decisions, how do they turn that around and win the respect of their teammates?
They got to really, it's all within, they got to look themselves in the mirror, you know, they got to want it for themselves, you know. And I'm going to definitely do everything that I can, and I know they've had support from the team, but, you know, you got to look yourself in the mirror and just make those decisions on yourself. And the only way that you can is by showing up and by doing everything the right way. You know, it's going to take a while for you to get that respect, or not respect, but just to get that accountability, having people really believe in that, you know, do your thing. So I think it just takes time.
Joe, about the year, you guys finished with 7 wins, which... more than you usually have when you start 6-3. I gotta imagine you want more than 7.
Oh no, for sure. I mean, we wanted a whole lot of more success, a lot more success, especially in 7-4. We had a lot of wins, you know, early. But at the end of the day, when you look at it, at the beginning of the season, man, everybody was saying maybe 1 win, maybe 2 wins, 0 wins. So I mean, we definitely played. We didn't do as good as we could, but, you know, I feel like we're heading on the right path.
Even though the last 48 hours have been somewhat distracting and unpleasant to talk about, do you think, though, It's eye-opening for everybody in the organization, and ultimately could end in a very positive result as far as the accountability, what it takes to win, what it takes to become a championship caliber team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I think that, ask that one more time.
Just as far as, you know, the last 48 hours, all the distractions, all the questions about these three teammates, but big picture-wise, could it actually be a positive because everybody was so upset and talking about, you know, what it takes to be a championship-caliber team in line?
I think so. I think everybody understands what it takes now. I mean, they know that they're important parts. And, you know, this and just the timing didn't really help, you know. I think that everybody knows that we do have Josh and Justin and John. They could be really, really valuable parts of this team. And we have a really good foundation. Just bringing them along, man. Love Josh, love Johnny, love Justin. And this is the growing pains. And I just want to let them know that it's not all bashing. We really do support them. I support the hell out of them dudes. But it's just it is what it is, you know, when you get the questions coming at you every day about other guys, and it's not really about that. We just out there versus the Raiders trying to, you know, to end the season on the right note, and we're talking about other off the field things. I mean, I think they recognize that, but I just want them to know that we do have their back. We do support them. We know that they can help us win games, get to the playoffs and everything, but, you know, it just takes a little bit of growing.
What did you think of Jim back?
It's amazing to know that, because it's just the comfort of being able to come into the same system, not knowing the same terminology, knowing coming back to just the not having to learn a completely different scheme. It's going to be something that is going to be a lot better, because I know our coaches, like, just trying to learn the scheme and learn the terminology and the different checks and everything. I mean, just being able to come back into that for OTAs, knowing so much more than we already did, it's going to be so much better.
Yeah, four coaches in 5 years for you.
Oh man, it's crazy. Just learning completely different schemes every season. And now this one, we coming back and we can make, like, if we're in a bunch, we're going to play the same thing we played last year. So it helps out so much.
What do you think the defense needs to get better?
If everybody's healthy, we'll be good. We'll be nice and fine. We just hopefully health and just make get Phil, you know, hopefully Ruben. I mean, the group of guys that we have in that room, we really don't need anything.
What did you think of his first year? And what's your best Jim O'Neill story? Just because it seems like just really energetic, energizer bunny type guy.
Yeah, he's a really, really energetic guy. He's a player's coach. We really love playing for him. He really ask you for your opinion, your input on the scheme and what you like to play, how you like to play it. And I think everybody's just being more comfortable in the system. And I just love his energy and just love the way he coaches us.
Joe Hayden, the Pro Bowl corner of the Cleveland Browns. Thought the most interesting thing there is, you know, you were talking about to appease the locker room, making a statement. He wanted all three of those guys back. Said most definitely he wanted them back.
In fairness, what do you expect him to say?
Well, he could make a statement. Joe Thomas was very stern about what he thought about those guys.
Yeah, but I think if he's asked a direct question, it's not for him to say, yeah, send them packing.
Well, you could say it's above my pay grade. I don't make those decisions.
That's right. And I think
it's not above his pay grade.
No, it's not.
It's below his pay
grade. Yes, it is.
To make those decisions.
But I think Joe Hayden, you know, is the consummate professional. He is the epitome of playing like a Brown. And he might be critical of these guys behind closed doors, but I think that the way he personifies himself is why he's been so accepted here as a Cleveland Brown, well beyond just his play.
All right. Favorite rookie or rookies? You can get into as many as you want. Your favorite rookies on this team this year, the kid.
Well, I know who yours is. I'm not going to steal yours because you got a man crush on him. So I'll go Joel Petonio. Came in from minute one and was a starter, equal, in my opinion, to Zach Martin, who was a first-round pick. And this really, you know, all the Ray Farmer critics out there can look at this pick. This is one of the best picks of the entire draft. I mean, third round, starting guard, pencil him in for 15 years, and he's a stud. That's my favorite.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to pick Petonio, which I did earlier for my, you know, surprise of the year, and I'd love to pick Crow, I'm going to go Taylor Gabriel. I think, you know, Abilene Christian, a little guy who embraced his role and played like a Brown and played his way into more playing time and eventually developed a full-time role as a part of this offense, running certain types of routes and being relied on to make big plays.
And talked his way onto the roster.
That's
story about going into Ray Farmer's office, looking him in the eye and saying,
takes a big pair.
don't give up on me yet, Ray.
That's right.
I mean, that's awesome.
I agree. I love that. So this rookie class, my favorite, obviously, caw-caw, the Crow, Isaiah Crowell. But I love a lot of these rookies.
Yes.
I mean, I really do like a lot of these rookies. Love Crow. I love Pierre Desir. I think Pierre Desir is going to be a big-time player for this team. He does everything the right way. He's a great example, I think, hopefully, that Justin Gilbert can learn from. I love Pierre Desir, and it was great to see him have success. Come out, play Kelvin Benjamin, who, by the way, was lighting up the league, and he held him to 5 catches for 47 yards, a couple of pass breakups in that game, played very well. So I like those two. And then Connor Shaw has all of my respect for what he did out there. Robert Nelson, love Nelly. Kaywan Williams,
what,
great
one
guy
other
too.
Of note that we haven't even said, another draft pick, Chris Kirksey.
That's where I was
and,
going.
And the reason why I say that is because it's unique for a linebacker to get as much time as he did, especially with Robertson, kind of penciled in that position, and then you go get Dansby, because we've got Dansby for one more year, and then Robertson's going to be up here in the next year or two as well. So, he's got a great opportunity to play a lot of football here, on defense for the Cleveland Browns.
I think he's going to be a stud for years to come at that Will linebacker position, and I think he does things the right way also. Chris Kirksey, you don't hear anything about him. Betonio, obviously, I think was the most polished and the most productive of this rookie class, but you had a lot of good guys in there. And the interesting thing about it is, if you had asked me before training camp who my favorite rookies were, before they'd ever come on the field for the Browns, it for sure would have been Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
And I hope that Johnny Manziel can turn it around. But, a lot of people look, and I think you made a great point about Ray Farmer in this draft class. A lot of people want to condemn this whole draft because of what you got out of, Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert, what you didn't get out of those two. But when you look at the whole picture of this draft, you see a very productive draft. You've got a guy, Joel Bitonio, who's going to be a Pro Bowler, I think, for many, many years to come. You have got a guy in Chris Kirksey who's going to be surefire starter for you for years to come. Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell at the running back position were the first duo of rookie runners to run for more than 600 yards since the 1960s. So those guys give you hope at that position. I think Desir is going to be a starting cornerback in this league for a long, long time. And then you look at the undrafteds. I mentioned Crow. Taylor Gabriel made his contributions right away. Kaywan Williams was your starting nickel and played extremely well for this season, for this team. So you added a lot of talent. They believe in Robert Nelson. Dante Whitner told Nelly as he was leaving here that he's going to be a Pro Bowl cornerback one day. He believes that. He just needs to keep working at it. So then if you get anything out of these two first-rounders, all of a sudden this is almost – a perfect draft. And right now, that's what's detracting from it. But they're young. They still have time to turn around. But when you can say, I got Bitonio's a starter for me for years, Kirksey's a starter for me for years, I believe between West and Crow, you have your running back starter for years, and you've got Pierre Desir, who's going to be a starter for years in this league, and a very good one, in my opinion, plus Kaywan and Nelly, who can play some slot corner for you. You really did add a lot of good, cheap talent to your team, which is what you need to do in the draft.
And you added another first-round pick.
Yes, on top of that.
And so let's talk a little bit about this year's draft. 10 picks, I believe it is. I think I'd like to see him go in the front seven, 3 or 4 picks in the front seven, 3 or 4 picks on the offensive line, build our team from within like that. Receivers, I think Ray Farmer's proven with the Gabriels of the world, he can find diamonds in the rough. Maybe get one stud receiver, but other than that, build up the lines.
Well, and also, too, is
and the D-line, too.
Yeah,
I think
the
D-line,
yeah, the front set. Yeah, when I said the front set.
Exactly, but I mean, even just reading into Ray Farmer's comments yesterday at his press conference about the wide receiver position, the fact that, his comments about, well, the wide receiver can only, was only targeted maybe 10, 12 times and maybe only touched the ball between 6 and 10, 10 times a game. So his focus was on the guys that impact the football game every play. Read into it what you want, because I think a Calvin Johnson –
as a losing record in the NFL. Mike Evans went into Tampa, had a phenomenal season for them, exceeded every expectation you could hope to have, and yet they're picking first overall. So, I mean, I do get it, but I do think you need to help your quarterback out. You need somebody who can make plays. I think when you look at Dallas and you say, well, how good is Dallas? Because, look how great their offensive line is. It's true, but they also have a defense that's playing well. But they've got Tony Romo, so they've got the franchise quarterback. They've got Dez Bryant, who changes everything that a defense has to do against them. And they've got, DeMarco, who's running well. But I think I believe running backs, Denver showed it to me with C.J. Anderson, and I just believe this fully. Never trade assets to get a running back. Never trade up to get a running back. Never invest in early pick in a running back. I think if you have the right line and you have the right system, any running back is talented enough to be productive.
I would agree with that. But until Dallas really invested in the line the last couple years, they've had Romo, they've had Witten, they've had Dez. When they turned the corner was when their offensive line became
And when
studly.
Their D started playing better this
but
year.
But their D only played better because they were off the field because the offensive line was eating up the clock.
Yeah. Listen, I have no problem continuing to attack the point of attack. And I think if you were saying which side has the glaring weakness, I mean, remember, you're going to get – let's not forget this. You're getting Alex Mack back. Another guy that we haven't seen who started for the Seattle Seahawks in their Super Bowl run at tackle, Michael Bowie, was snagged from their injured reserve list, which was a very smart move, and the Seahawks were pissed about it. So he's a guy who could come in and maybe play some right tackle or play right guard and shore up the line as well.
Can
so
Schwartz
he's
play guard?
In. We'll see. I don't know. I didn't think Mitchell Schwartz was bad. I thought no. The line got obviously hurt when Alex Mack left, and Mack's coming back. Could you add another guy to that line? Of course you can. But I think shoring up the defensive front will change everything about this team. And I hope that that's where, if you want to get crazy in free agency and throw big money at somebody, maybe that's where you do it. You get a disruptor. I think there are guys in this draft, the kid out of Washington, I believe his name's Shelton, who is a big, kind of like a Haloti Ngata. And if you could throw a Haloti Ngata in the middle of this, free the linebackers up to make plays more. That's when linebackers are good. It's
Absolutely.
When the defensive line's eating everybody up in front of them.
You think that if you're a player in the locker room, do you want them going and getting Sue? I mean, he's the number one guy out there. Or is he just, you know what, is he too much trouble for what
but
he's
But doesn't
doing?
He want to win? Like, I feel like he is trouble, but he wants to win.
Oh, absolutely. And I think if this locker room can deal with a personality like Johnny Manziel, they'll
but
take
that. Because we didn't effectively reach Johnny Manziel.
True, exactly. But I think that it's you would take the performance of a guy like Ndamukong Suh, you know, over the BS that comes with him. Whereas Johnny Manziel was BS first, and still a huge question mark about his play.
So you're saying that you, as a player in the locker room, you take him.
Absolutely, because of
and he's not stepping on your ankle anyway.
And I think he also gives. I think he also gives when you look at. And I know we're totally off topic, but whatever. When you're looking at this team and you're looking at the perception of the Browns, he changes the attitude. All of a sudden, you know you're coming in. You're coming in for a fight. You're going to get beat up. It's going to be nasty. And I think that the Browns defense started to do that.
Yeah.
But the lack of ability up front. You know, when you know you can go out and run for 200 yards on a team, you don't. That's not a physical defense that you fear, even though I do think the Browns had a physical defense. Their back end was as good as any in the league. If you can get that front taken care of and have that attitude and a little more swagger, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to do a Super Bowl dance, just thinking about it.
I mean, but also, too, it's like, I mean, if Dansby and Whitner have the swagger they have now, think how they feed into the frenzy that is in Ndamukong Suh and the attitude that he brings up front.
I think it's going to be an interesting one. The Browns certainly have the money. I don't know if he'd want to come to Cleveland. I don't know if he's a guy who wants
he's
to go to
He's lived in
New
Detroit.
York.
He might as well come to Cleveland.
Might as well come. We'll see if that's even something that's on the Browns' radar screen there. We'll find out in this offseason. When we come back, we're going to have a fun hodgepodge of After Further Review, Factor Fiction, and the Friday Forecast. It'll be like the poo-poo platter here on
Love
Cleveland
me a
Browns
poo-poo
Daily,
platter.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Like a seafood tower.
Like egg rolls,
I'm gonna call it a
ribs.
Yeah, ribs.
Okay. You know. Hot fried rice, pot stickers. Love pot stickers.